paper chase.
Abstract number one. Effect of continuous infusion of hypertonic saline versus standard care on 6-month neurologic outcomes in patients with traumatic brain injury, the COBE randomized clinical trial. And this is by Roquilli et al. In JAMA. So hypertonic saline, I think, is frequently used, or at least frequently talked about being used, in cases of traumatic brain injury and intracranial hemorrhage when we are concerned about cerebral edema and the potential for brain herniation. Now, I am most used to seeing it in bolus form. That's like how we use it at County. I think that's, you know, most ED docs I've talked to, that's how they've used it. But here, the authors are citing several trials and some big review articles concluding that there's actually an impact on hospital survival when used prophylactically as a drip, right? So you think there's going to be brainstem herniation, you start them on a drip, and you continue that as they go upstairs and get admitted. But this management strategy has not really made it into the mainstream because of the fact that there's no reliable data on the impact of hypertonic saline drips on long-term clinical outcomes, which is what we really care about. So this is the COBE trial, the Continuous Hyperosmolar Therapy for Traumatic Brain Injury Patients, which is a multi-center, open-label, randomized control trial from France comparing a 20% hypertonic saline solution to usual care in patients with moderate to severe traumatic brain injury. They define their cohort of interest as adults with a GCS of less than or equal to 12 and evidence of head injury on CT. Patients in the intervention arm got a bolus of hypertonic upfront and then were started on a drip of 20% hypertonic saline, essentially titrated to keep their sodium between 140 and 155. So they just wanted to keep them a little bit hypertonic. And then if patients had any evidence of intracerebral hemorrhage, regardless of treatment arm, patients received a bolus of hyperosmolar therapy, either mannitol or hypertonic saline, or a decompressive craniectomy as part of the standard treatment if they thought there was increased cerebral edema or pressure that was going along with this, the hypertension, cerebral hypertension. The primary outcome in this study was the GOES-E. I never know if I'm saying that right, or GOES, right? The Glasgow Outcome Scale Extended at 6 months, which is an 8-point scale with lower scores indicating worse outcomes. So they randomized and followed up 370 patients. The primary outcome was not available for 11 patients, which is not too bad. You know, 6 months out, they were able to follow up on almost everybody. The baseline characteristics were similar between the groups. A median age in the 40s, median GCS of 7, and about 70% had bilateral reactive pupils when the thing started. So it wasn't like big chunk of them had a blown pupil or already really
far gone. Pretty low GCS, though, to start with.
This is a really sick cohort of patients, no question about that. So at 6 months, there was no difference in these outcome scores between the two groups. Odds ratio basically flat, 1.02. They had multiple secondary outcomes they looked at, including rates of other interventions, ICU length of stay, 6-month mortality, proportion with good neurologic outcomes, and these were all statistically similar between the two groups. The risk of intracranial hypertension, if they were measuring it, you know, directly or indirectly, was actually lower in the active treatment arm for 2 days, but then that's what, how long they did the drip for, like a couple of days, and they stopped doing the drip. And as soon as the drip went off, they saw a big rebound effect, actually, where they all got, you know, some intracranial hypertension from day 4 onward. So although there are some concerns, generally speaking, about the use of hypertonic saline in terms of kidney toxicity and thrombotic events, among other things, if you keep people on hypertonic for too long, they did not see these at increased rates in this trial. Maybe it's because they were only on for 2 days. I'm not exactly sure. Now, one limitation here is that they don't give an exact number, but do state that a good portion of the control group ended up receiving hyperosmolar boluses of some sort, right? So even if you weren't randomized to getting hypertonic saline, you may have gotten one or multiple boluses of either hypertonic saline or mannitol, something like that. And they explain because it would be absolutely unethical to not do that, right? To not do right. These neuro ICU that. Guys yeah. felt was like the standard of care. So this is like a really big trial testing out something that I guess had a lot of benefit seen before in the ICU world, but they didn't really see anything here. So they're not advocating for the use of drip, and this sort of like the smaller trials and review articles that they had cited before, even if, you know, like they saw here some sort of disease-oriented outcome improvements, the clinical outcomes, same, same, same. So for us, even though this is a really big trial from JAMA, we can just stick with hypertonic saline as a bolus and not worry about the introduction of this drip.
Editor's commentary.
In this large randomized control trial from France, the authors did not find a clinical benefit assessed at 6 months of using hypertonic saline drips in patients with moderate to severe traumatic brain injury.